May it please the court, my name is Chris Myers. I represent Sherry Bogger. This is Cynthia Rockwell, and she represents the Appalachian Deco Heating. This is an appeal of the district court's order granting summary judgment in favor of Deco and against the Bogger as to her entitlement and retaliation claims under the FMLA. The timeline involving this case is approximately 3 months, from about January of 2000 to the end of March of 2000. My client was on FMLA leave for stress and depression. She came back in January of 2000. She received a performance review. She worked as a plant manager for Deco on March 6th of 2000. That evaluation is on page 6 of the brief. It is not stellar, but it is not condemning either. In fact, the narrative portion of the review shows that Ms. Bogger was showing nothing but promise and certainly should have expected to keep her job. But that didn't happen. On March 17th of 2000, my client was suspended for telling a lie. And on March 20th, she was fired, supposedly for dishonesty, relating back to the lie. Now, the lie is important to understand because from the standpoint of Deco, the lie was painted very broadly. She apparently told a supervisor that she was not going to be available to talk to anybody and asked him to lie about that. My client said not true.
Well, what did he tell Deco?
He may have told Deco, and Judge, I don't know about that.
Well, but if he told Deco, you know, she told me to lie, she wasn't going to be on the premises and so on. If that's all Deco knew, then that would be a perfectly good reason for them to fire her, even if...
Judge, isolated by itself, you may be right, but we have more circumstances here. And, Judge, if what you claim is true, then basically all plaintiffs are doomed in their employment cases.
No, but I mean, no. But if the employer has a reason for firing someone that is not invidious, then the fact that it may rest on a mistake of fact doesn't invalidate it. Right?
I agree.
Okay.
100%.
So if they think she's not on the job and she's telling people to lie and say she's there, if that's what they think happened, and they fire her for that, that's not an invidious reason. So it has nothing to do with the FMLA, even if it might be mistaken.
Perhaps, Judge, but again...
Well, I don't know perhaps. I think that's right.
Well, it is right, but I think all of these things have to be contextualized.
Well, you know, I don't know what that means.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
I don't know what that means. I don't like big words.
Okay. What I mean by that is... her telling the lie so close to the time that she told him that she needed time off work for a discogram, that she needed additional weeks in the future for an impending back surgery, all of a sudden this lie seems to be...
Well, I don't know why the proximity of the lie should be in her favor. I don't understand that.
Well, because, Your Honor, it's suspicious. First of all, she denies ever saying that she had told him to tell everybody that she wasn't going to be at work. And it seems to me that the employer has the duty to at least investigate by talking with the employee and getting her version before making a decision to fire her.
There was a history here which included the fact that the employer had been dissatisfied with the amount of time she was spending on, you know, on the floor of the plant. So it would be very natural for them to believe the supervisor when he said she was lying about being there, because that would support their concern that she doesn't like to spend all her time marching around on the floor of the plant.
Well, Your Honor, that's one inference, but the other is, if you look at the inference in favor of the plaintiff, the March 6th evaluation shows that she's doing better in almost every area, including visibility.
Now, doing better doesn't mean doing well.
Well enough not to be terminated.
But then you have the lie, and that's decisive.
Perhaps. But again, Judge, I'm asking the court to contextualize it. If I was able to get this case to the jury, I would be able to get them to understand or get before them.
I don't see how a reasonable jury, just because of this, you know, the time she was out for the depression, I don't see how a reasonable jury could find that, that you had carried your burden of proof.
Well, Your Honor, we disagree respectfully. We would have been able to get before the jury that it's a little bit strange that suddenly she became so inept over a period of 10 days to be put on suspension and to be terminated. The other thing that we would be able to get before the jury is the change in reasons that the defendant gave when I did my discovery.
Well, they're always adding reasons later. I agree. Those two reasons don't do much. But
Your Honor, I'm a little bit shocked
by that. That's what lawyers do. They're always
It's important, Judge, for plaintiff's lawyers to understand what the reasons are early on in the litigation, because we have to attack those reasons. Why? Because we have to show pretext. Mm-hmm. And if defendants are able to manufacture...
We'll ignore the other reasons and just focus on the lies.
Okay. And the lie, Judge, was the whitest of lies.
No. But again, there's a difference. What actually the lie was and what Deco honestly, maybe mistakenly or even stupidly, but honestly believed the lie was.
Right.
If they believed it was as they represent, then clearly they would fire a person for that.
Perhaps, Judge, but this is why you can't just dismiss the other reasons, because it bears upon Deco's credibility.
Well, Mr. Myers, let me ask you, that when she came back, she didn't ask for FMLA leave, did she?
No. She asked for time off for a discogram.
For a discogram, which would have been 2 or 3 or 4 days or something.
That is correct. But she also said that she needed leave for a future back surgery.
Wasn't it the fact that she couldn't remember whether she told anybody that?
No, Judge, that's not the fact. At pages 32 and 30 through 34 of her deposition, she talked at length about her need for future medical leave. In fact, I believe that it's at...
I'm quoting or looking at your opponent's brief, and they say that her brief at pages 34 and 38, she couldn't recall it. She told anybody.
Well, Your Honor, at page 34, how much time did you tell them you were going to need off of this major back surgery? Her answer, I don't remember. I am thinking it was going to be at least 60 days, but I am not sure. And that's important because the FMLA doesn't require an employee to mention the FMLA or even demand its benefits. It's enough for the employer to be put on notice that this person has to go on leave. And so what we have here is the defendant making up at least 5 different reasons after they admitted in their interrogatories and requests for admissions that the only reason they supposedly used to terminate her was for dishonesty. And those reasons include performance, attendance, visibility, allegedly bearing her breasts, having a sexual affair. It just looks like it was all fabricated and contrived to make some scenario up to justify a wrongful termination. And so, Your Honor, what we're asking for is that the district court order be reversed and the case remanded for trial.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Myers. Ms. Rockwell?
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. Sherry Bacher was a less than satisfactory plant manager for Deco.
What about Mr. Myers' point about this proliferation of reasons?
We do not believe there's a proliferation of reasons. Ms. Bacher was terminated for the lie she told the evening of March 17th.
What about all this other stuff about sex and so on?
The other stuff came out in an affidavit of the human resources manager who was friends with her and said that that was part of her analysis, her personal analysis, as one of the 3 decision makers who decided termination was appropriate after the decision to suspend hadn't been provided to Ms. Bacher yet. They were never the reason for termination. They were part of the thought process behind the decision to suspend Ms. Bacher, give her a clear talking to. Her problems with performance began in the fall of 1999, as early as November of 1999, before she ever requested the first FMLA leave for stress and depression. She was put on notice that her job was in jeopardy and she needed to.
I thought that was because she didn't spend enough time on the floor, not because she was having affairs with people. So.
Correct. That's right.
So where did that stuff come in?
That's just part of Mary Gerard's thought process in her determination that this was a person.
What's the relevance of the secret thought process? I don't understand.
It has no relevance. It was never argued as the reason for
it. It has no relevance. Why is it in the case?
It was just in Mary Gerard's affidavit as part of the background.
Why did it put in her affidavit? Lawyers write the affidavit.
Well, in this case, Ms. Gerard put that information in her affidavit.
Why?
These were
Why do the lawyers want to have irrelevant stuff in an affidavit?
I can't answer that. All I can tell you is it was important to Ms. Gerard that the court understand this woman had problems with her behavior in the workplace. Maybe it was to support the belief.
Well, it sounds as if you're trying to blacken her character.
It was not my intent to do that, Your Honor. I believe the record itself shows that she had problems performing.
She couldn't defend herself against irrelevancies, right? So, like our first case.
Getting back to my argument, she had been advised as early as fall of 1999 that she was under an obligation to write a written performance improvement plan to show how she was going to better perform her duties as the plant manager. She then went on an FMLA leave of absence due to the stress and stayed out until January. There were no problems with her being permitted to have that leave of absence. And there were no problems upon her return. In fact, upon her return, the management met with her to bring her up to date and remind her that she still had these performance problems that were unresolved and to remind her that she still needed to improve that performance. The March 6th written performance evaluation, again, advised her she still had these problems. She had shown signs of some improvement, but she was not a satisfactory employee. In fact, the March 6th performance evaluation was an overall needs improvement performance evaluation. She was not a satisfactory plant manager at that point in time. At that point in time, she went to Mary Gerard, who's the human resources manager, and indicated that she was contemplating just voluntarily demoting herself out of the plant manager position, acknowledging that she was probably not going to be able to meet the expectations of that job. After that is when complaints started coming in from her coworkers on a regular basis that her performance declined drastically up to the incident on March 17th. Between March 6th and March 17th, the management personnel decided they were going to suspend Ms. Bacher because she
when
was...
When did she ask to have the back process that was going to take several days?
Sometime during the week that ended on March 17th, she made a passing comment to someone, and we have never been able to identify who that person is because no one in the management, the three managers who made the decision to terminate her, was ever advised of this. And Ms. Bacher's deposition testimony was she couldn't remember very much about who she actually made the comments to. But the comments she made were that she was going to need a discogram, it would take a day or two, and there was no problem with her taking that time off. She never indicated to anyone that she was scheduled for back surgery. She didn't know she was going to need back surgery till after the discogram. That was to determine the extent of her problem. During her deposition...
I referred your opponent to a citation you gave in your brief that makes the same statement. She never said anything about it, but he read... back that she talked about she didn't know how long it was going to be. It could be 60 days.
That was in response to the question I asked that followed up a question I had asked earlier. Did you tell anyone you were going to need back surgery? And I think her answer was something along the lines, I think I did. I think I told Mary Gerard and Bruce Mock. She wasn't clear which one or when she told either one of them. And she had her testimony. You have to understand, during her deposition, she understood that she had had the discogram back in December or January prior to all of this occurring. She was testifying on her belief that she had already had the discogram, which she did not have until after her termination. So everything in her deposition kind of falls apart when you realize that she didn't even have the discogram before she was terminated, which is the triggering test to determine whether she would need the back surgery. But even if she met all the requirements to have made a request for FMLA leave some unknown time in the future for some unknown amount of time, the fact of the matter is clear that she was terminated because she lied to one of the night supervisors about her attendance at work, and that was one of the ongoing problems with her performance throughout her employment. as a plant manager. It was one of the areas that was repeatedly being brought up in her evaluations and comments about her poor performance. And it was one of those areas of failure to perform totally unrelated to any of her health problems. It was just a separate issue unrelated to a health problem.
What's the size of this operation? How many people?
Oh, several hundred. I can't give you an exact number. I'm sorry.
Not really small. I mean, it's 100 or more.
It's probably more than 100 employees. At this point in time, it may not be because they've had significant downsizing in the last years. But at that point in time, I'd say it was over 100 and probably less than 300. That'd be a guess. Unless there are any further questions, I have nothing.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Rockwell. Mr. Myers, how much time does he have? 2 minutes?
Thank you. First of all, to clear up this situation in the deposition about her explaining that she needed more time for surgery, on page 33, in a response to a question from Ms. Rockwell, my client states very clearly, I was scheduled to have major back surgery. I was scheduled to have back surgery, but we actually had not had the date set yet, but I told them that I am going to have another FMLA as soon as I get the dates because they had to do back surgery. And the histogram occurred, I believe, on March 23rd.
But didn't they discharge her on the 20th?
Yes, they did. But it comports with my client's understanding that she told them in advance of when she was going to need the discogram. And so it fits within her timeline and supports the retaliation claim. With respect to, back to the lie. My client wasn't even required to be there that night. She wasn't required to be there the following Saturday morning. And so the lie makes absolutely no sense at all. It is disingenuous, it's fake, it's phony, it's fabricated. But it's important to get the jury to understand all these other things that happened around the same timeline, including the dramatic plummeting of my client's performance, so-called, the change in reasons articulated by the defendant. All of these things bolster the proposition that the defendant was fabricating and contriving a story to justify termination.
Okay, thank you very much. And we'll go on to our next.